Today on Real Radio.
It has nothing to do with the rapture. And yet it's often taught as a rapture verse, and it's not. You've got to find Jesus mentioned in the rapture in John 14 as he introduces it to the church.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. We're in a mini-series of sorts taken from this collection of studies, and it's called What Christians Believe About the Rapture. Our key passage is found in the opening verses of John chapter 14, where Jesus promised that he will come again to receive his people to himself. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing in his mini-series called What Christians Believe About the Rapture.
Your Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is a Babylonian hexadecimal calendar, 360-day year. The Greek calendar is our calendar. It's 365. What's amazing about this is 483 years turns out to be 173,880 days. The angel tells Daniel, this is the timetable. From the commandment of Nehemiah's in 445 BC, if you count 173,880 days, or 483 years from March 14th, 445 BC, you'll come out to a day. And that day is April 6th, 32 AD. April 6th, 32 AD happens to be on a Sunday. It happens to be the day that Jesus rode on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem and presented himself as king to Israel. It is at that time that the nation of Israel, the leadership of Israel, determined he's going to be put to death. Isn't it interesting? Jesus was cut off out of the land of the living that week. It was the 483rd year. It was 173,880 days. That is so powerful that Jesus held Israel responsible to know the day of what is officially known in Bible prophecy of his first coming. It wasn't in Bethlehem. It was in Jerusalem. That week called Passion Week. Matthew 23:37. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When did Jesus say that? April 6th, 32 AD. It was the Palm Sunday ride into Jerusalem. The very day Jesus held Israel to be knowing his coming for the first time. Why is that important? Turn or jot down Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. This is why the second coming is altogether different from the rapture from the second coming. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10 begins this way. For many shall be purified. Daniel's speaking about the believers during the tribulation period. Many will be purified and made white and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. From that time that the daily sacrifice... Here you go, specific, watch out. The time from the daily sacrifice is taken away... Now you have to go read 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. It's going to tell you what day that is. The Bible says it's the day that the Antichrist stands in the newly rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and stops the sacrifices from taking place. That's when Jesus says, when you see that happen, Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 15, he says, when you see that happen, don't come down from, get out. Don't even go to your house to get a jacket. Run, flee, go. You ever read that, anybody? Or am I just getting excited by myself? He said, get out of town. Those of you who live in Judea, go. When the sacrifice is taken away, the Antichrist is going to do that. And the abomination of desolation is set up, the desecration of the temple by the Antichrist. There shall be, here he gives specifics now, 1,290 days. From what? Anybody, from what? From the day the Antichrist desecrates the temple. You can see it on CNN. Look, he's doing it. The Bible says, count now, 1,290 days from today. Verse 12, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335th day. And this is what most Bible scholars understand about this. Are you ready? Pretty cool. That from the abomination of desolation, the desecration of the temple by the Antichrist, Christ will return 1,290 days from that moment. Blessed are those who wait to the 1,335th day. That's 45 days. What's that all about? It is believed by most scholars, and I adhere to this, that during that 45-day period will be the fulfillment of Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. The nations, not Christians. It has nothing to do with Christians. Read it carefully. It has to do with those nations who blessed Israel and those nations who were evil against Israel during the tribulation period. Read it carefully. He will separate them. That's pretty wild. It's pretty awesome. I think you got the suggestion. The first coming, Christ held Israel to be knowing the day of his coming. The second coming, God will hold Israel accountable again to know the day of his coming regarding the second coming. Concerning the rapture, no man knows the day or the hour. It's very clear. The rapture is sudden. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, Paul says, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The rapture will happen suddenly. By the way, that word twinkling, you look it up, it means the flinching of an eye. The flinch, the jerk of an eye. It means an instant. It means a flash, a twitch. Less than a second of time. Number five on what Christians believe about the rapture is that it's a mystery hidden in the prophetic word. It's a mystery hidden in the prophetic word, number five. Hidden prophetically, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19 says, and your dead shall live together. With my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth will cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter into your chambers and shut your doors behind you and hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment. You might say, well, how come? Until the indignation, that's another word for wrath, is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Listen to that verse of Isaiah as I read 1 Thessalonians 4:13 into chapter 5. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died in Jesus, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even so God will bring with him those who died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died in Christ. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven and with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dew will arise. The earth will cast out its dead. Isaiah was prophesying about this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Stop right there. Chapter 5, verse 3. Christian, don't let anyone ever tell you as a Christian, well, I don't get into prophecy and the future stuff because, you know, the Bible says that he's going to come as a thief in the night. Only to those who aren't going. Only to those who don't know him. Let me keep reading. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, in contrast to they, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Have I spent too much time in here, or is this not perfectly clear? I mean, isn't it clear? It's so simple. It's so clear. Number six, what Christians believe about the rapture is that it's a joyful, glad event. It's a wonderful thing, and it's to be anticipated. Frankly, there's nothing to anticipate regarding the second coming. It's all laid out in great detail. The rapture is to be anticipated. It's a joyful, glad event. Colossians 3, verse 3 says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears," there's the appearing, "then you also will appear with him in glory." Hey, I don't know about you, but is that good news? Anybody struggle with sin this week? Yeah. Three of us? Yeah. The rest of you are all liars, and you're struggling with it, and you don't even know it. Men, when the Lord comes back, we are going to appear with him in glory. I can't wait. Get this old carcass changed. It's funny tonight. I'm getting ready and stuff, you know, and I'm just, I got to get going. I don't have time to take a shower. What should I do? Oh, guys, what do you do when you don't have time to take a shower?
Cologne.
Exactly. Amen. Cologne. Extra doses of it. So I'm pretty thick right now. I can smell myself. Pretty heavy. Why? Because I'm dying. That's why. That's why I stink. Every year I stink more. I stink and stink more and more every year. Some of you that are young, you go, "I don't know what he's talking about." It gives me a great deal of pleasure to tell you, you shall know what I'm talking about. Man, when you're young and you sweat, you know, and it's like, hell, right, you know, everything's fine. Man, I don't know what it is. You get 20 and onward and you just stink. And when you're 40 plus, it reeks. And you don't really know it, but then you come back and visit, you know, a t-shirt that you took off earlier in the day, and it's like, whoa! What is happening? It's called death. And we are just absolutely, you know, dying. Well, when the Lord comes back, we are going to, this vile body is going to be changed in an instant. It's going to be completely changed in a twinkling of an eye, and we will go into glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll be fantastic for us. And that's a great, great thing. We are to be excited about the rapture. It's wonderful moments. We can't wait, looking for the imminent expectancy of Christ. Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes." But what does the Bible say? "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus," right? It's good news. Man, you can't say that. Oh, come and bring on the second coming. The vials, the seals, the judgments, the hailstones falling from heaven, the starvation, and the Antichrist cutting people's heads off. Bring it on! The second coming is a tremendous deliverance for those in a world that has gone Christless. They've endured. The rapture is a hopeful expectancy. Many Christians are confused, by the way. Listen, I'm going to need you to take notes on this. This is a very important thing, and you hear about it all the time, and it's confusing for many, many people. Many Christians might say, and you might have thought so in the introduction of this, John chapter 14 is the introduction of the rapture by Jesus. I thought of other verses in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And maybe I'm, you know, thinking here out loud for you, maybe you just automatically went to perhaps a verse like this or a section of scripture like this. And many people, and I've heard really good Bible teachers, and I've had some friends teach this as the rapture, and you can't find anyone, and you can't find any decent commentators that will confirm this as the rapture. They won't get near it. They just avoid it. Watch out. Because many post-tribulationists use this as the rapture verse. It's impossible. It's Luke 17. Go there if you would in your Bible. And mark your Bible all up at this point. So you're no longer confused. Look, you can be confused about some things and other things, but in this church, don't be confused about this thing, because it'll rob you of your hope and of your joy. Luke 17. This is not the rapture, and the Bible will prove it to you. The Bible will. As the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven, verse 24, and shines unto the other part of heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. That is a clear, unmistakable reference to the second coming. In his day. It's the judgment of Christ to earth. Verse 25. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Jesus is speaking. And as it was in the days of Noah. That's a key. All Bible students, listen. Whatever he's going to tell us, it has a likeness or a similitude to the days of Noah. So it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. What happened in the days of Noah? Blessing or judgment? Judgment. Keep that in mind. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Anybody not understand that? Pretty clear. Verse 28. Likewise, same story I'm trying to tell you about this event, as it was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Verse 29. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. The day of Lot. Good news, bad news for the people who were not walking with God. Bad news. Destroyed them all. Noah in his time, those who didn't believe, destroyed them all. Lot in the city of Sodom, when judgment came, destroyed them all, except those who were delivered, right? Verse 30, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that is not the rapture. That is a global, every eye shall see him revelation. You got that? Verse 31, in that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. She loved the world. She couldn't get her eyes off the world. Her heart was in the world. What happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt, but the judgment of God. She perished in the judgment. Verse 33, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two, and look in your Bible, it says two men. In the Greek, there's no sexual gender there. There's no gender mentioned. That's why it's italicized in your Bible. Okay? It just says this. There will be two in one bed. The one will be taken and the other one left. Verse 35. Two will be grinding together. The one will be taken, the other one left. Two will be in the field. The one will be taken, the other left. Stop right there. Remember, it's not gender. Some of your Bibles say men and women. Forget that. It's not even in there. Someone's taken and someone's left. People, we don't know, at this moment, we pause, we don't know who stays and who's taken. Okay? We have an interesting context here. We've got Jesus speaking about the judgment of Noah, about the judgment of Lot, and he's telling us now that in the day of his coming, there's going to be people going about their business in life, not knowing, not caring. Verse 37. And they answered and said to him. If you read Mark and Luke and Matthew together, you find out it's the disciples. The disciples asked Jesus a very super question. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together also." The word, by the way, is griffin, not eagle. Griffin, like a griffin is, we would say in California, a vulture. Ezekiel mentions this event and says, vultures. The word, if you look it up, is flesh-eating birds, something that eats like roadkill, dead thing, rotting things. Eagles do not eat things that are dead. They kill things and eat it. They don't eat, they're not scavengers. The key question that's asked answers the entire context. The disciples asked Jesus, what? Where what? One will be taken, one will be left. Don't ever confuse us with the rapture. They asked him, where? He said, wherever the, and if you put the scriptures together, wherever the dead are, that's where the flesh-eating birds will be. That's the answer to their question. Where are they going? When you separate these people, we want to know, we don't care about the ones who stay. We've got that one figured out. Where do those people go? Well, it's in the context of Noah. It's in the context of Lot. Judgment. Okay, so where are they taken? Jesus says, to a place where there's rotting flesh and flesh-eating birds will eat them. This event will take place at the second coming of Christ, the separation of the nations and the judgment, when the Bible says that the blood will flow at the height of a bridle in the valley of Harmageddon, and when Jesus begins to judge the world. He beckons all the birds of the air to come and eat the flesh of kings and of horses and of men, both great and not so great, and rich and poor, and all these people. He summons the birds to come. When the disciples say, where are they taken? They're taken to judgment. They're not. Wherever these people in Luke 17 are taken, you don't want to go there. It's not a good thing. It appears that way in Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, and Luke's gospel. You do not want to be there. Because wherever there is, it is a place where rotting flesh is at, and flesh-eating birds are consuming whoever are taken. It has nothing to do with the rapture. And yet it's often taught as a rapture verse, and it's not. You've got to find Jesus mentioned in the rapture in John 14 as he introduces it to the church. And you're going to look to your footnotes of your Bible, and just remember this, those footnotes are opinions of men. They're not Bible. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. That's the way we'll understand Scripture.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called What Christians Believe About the Rapture. It's actually a fascinating three-part series within a series taken from Pastor Jack's topical studies called What Christians Believe. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, every day that ticks by brings us one day closer to this upcoming election. And you may have thought about questions like, well, should I really get involved in politics? Or what right do I have to impose my beliefs on others? Or should we set our minds on heaven and not what happens here on earth? Or how about this one? What about separating the sacred from the secular? Well, Scripture has plenty to say on the matter, and you know Pastor Jack's not just going to sit on the sidelines and let it go by. There's a DVD with a lesson called Politics and Faith, Why Should the Christian Care? And we'd like you to get your hands on it. Now, quite obviously, this is a time-sensitive matter, and that's why we at Real Radio are offering it to you for your gift of any amount in support of this outreach. Now, whether you call or click or write, be sure to mention it by name, Politics and Faith, Why Should the Christian Care? You can get it at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. And Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.